turn us to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And I want us to begin reading with verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I know a lot of people that are afraid of that word, revelation. Paul said, I will come to dreams and revelations. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ. He wrought in Christ. Keep that fixed in your heart. He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality, Christ, set by the Father, above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things. I must emphasize these words, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Remember this verse. I have come to do Thy will, O God. Everything that Christ did was the fulfillment, not the kind of fulfillment, but the fulfillment of the call of God and the will of God for His life. And I've come to do Thy will. It's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 4, you have to turn here. It tells us that Jesus gathered everything up, and in these words, He did it through the eternal Spirit. What Jesus did in doing the will of God, He secured it every bit by the power of the Holy Spirit. What I'm going to preach to you today is secure. It is fixed. It is nailed down. There's nothing else to be said. A name above all names. Power over all power. All glory, all dominion. All right. If you don't get that, you may miss something else that I'm going to say. Everything that Jesus did, it wasn't just for a few. At His crucifixion, they come to Jesus and they said, Jesus, your mother, your brothers. He said, He looked at the cross. He said, these are my mothers, my brothers, and my sisters. God is not the God only of the white man, the black man, the red man, the yellow man. He made every man of one blood. If you're white or black, God made you of one blood. He made all people of one blood. And for those of you that have a problem with that, you go talk to God about Moses, Mary, and the Ethiopian. We must come to the place where we accept Christ by the Holy Spirit, having done the entire universe, done the work for every man and every woman. The white man needs a Savior. The black man needs a Savior. The red man needs a Savior. The yellow man needs a Savior. And it's the same Savior. He said, I shed my blood once. I got a call this past week from Brother Houston's father. afternoon about Brother Blue, our Indian brother. He rides that mule down into the bottom of the Grand Canyon. He's 75 years old, but he's taking the same gospel that I preach, that you hear, that every race of man hears. Every man needs God. I want to get lit with you. Let me back up and say this. I'm going to use the word beg. I've been begging God for a long time. Make me more like you. Teach me my ways. Crucify the Christ in me. Murder me and all of you. I must decrease if he's going to increase. I be God. Will help you with that. Give me the desire of my heart. I did not come in the office Thursday or Friday. That's the second time since I've been here. I can remember doing that. I prayed. I felt God in my home and in the office. It seemed like everything was blessed. You ever been there? I couldn't. It seemed I couldn't pray. I would listen to the scripture read. I couldn't find anything that I thought was maybe God bringing to my attention, but that would be my message. That's where it was Thursday, Friday. My wife and I went out to eat lunch yesterday. I went to the house, got in the office. That's all. You said you wanted to get closer to God. So what I decided to do, I would go back to the very beginning. I want to go all the way back to when I felt conviction, where I first heard of the cross, the love of God, the washing away of sins. I believe He saved me from that. I'm going to tell you what I think I found. That we are mindful of how God has dealt with the old man. We think that's the end of it. We think that we've come to the ultimate moment of what the work of the cross was all about. Jesus was fighting for more than just our souls. He was fighting for the very will of God. Yes, we're fighting by the work of Jesus on the cross. But He said, I'll come to do thy will, O God. I ask myself the question, is the only reason and the only desire of God is to deliver a man from sin? Think with me. Whatever it was that was God's will in sending Jesus to the cross, Jesus secured it. He said, it is finished. All of the plan of God, all of the will of God, all of the purpose of God. But I want you to remember something, because I'll touch on it here in a little bit. With Esther and Daniel and with Abel. But remember this. Thy kingdom come. The Lord's Prayer, I'll tell you again, is not our Lord who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. The disciples said, teach us to pray. He said, when you pray our Father. Jesus never called God our Father. He said, my Father. That is not the Lord's Prayer. He said, when you pray this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What is the first request? Thy kingdom come. You know what a kingdom is? It is a territory ruled by a king. Jesus, in doing the will of God, was doing more than dying for my sin. It all had to do with whatever is the throne whatever is the will, whatever God is going to do now or in the future, in the eternity, He finished it. Somehow in the mind of God, in the heart of God, God was when there wasn't anything. He made heaven and earth. There was no heaven and earth. No water, no birds, no animals, no fish, no man. He created it. He made it. If God said to me, He said, I'm going to destroy the heavens and the earth, and I'm going to make a new heaven and earth where it dwells righteousness. What did the disciples ask Jesus? They said, will this time restore the kingdom? They had been besieged by the Romans. They want something of the kingdom of God. Will you at this time restore the kingdom? Jesus said, the times are all, that's not for you to know. He was just going to build a kingdom in Jerusalem. He's going to be God. I may shock you, but I'm telling you what I believe. I believe the kingdom of God was secured at Calvary. Jesus did it all. But Jesus died. Your Bible tells you, if Jesus had not raised from the dead, then your faith would be in vain. Everybody dies, and me and you will also. It's appointed unto man once to die. You're going to die. Jesus died. But He went to the heart of the earth. Give you keys. What keys do you demand? Death, hell, and the grave. In other words, I'm taking the keys to your kingdom. I'm about to stop. Jesus said, I'm going to take the keys of your kingdom. Your death, your hell, your grave. I'm going to take them. Thy kingdom come. When Jesus died the death at the cross, when He went to the heart of the earth and took the keys of hell and death, He secured the defeat of hell, not just your salvation. How great is the work of God? Jesus said, all things are done, but the Father may be glorified. Right? Jesus on the cross. Or in the God, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me on the cross? In that act of His death, He was securing everything that God had or would have. How great it is that we can know that all things are done for the glory of God. I don't know if you're understanding everything I'm saying, but Jesus dying on the cross, what time was it? 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock, after whatever time. The sun went dark. The sun did not shine. In the middle of the day, it was dark. Where's God? God has turned His back. He who knows, do no sin became sin that I might become the righteousness of God. Jesus did not die a sinner. There was no sin in Him. He was a sin sacrifice, and God turned upon sin. It's a new Bible. God turned His back. We think we've got Calvary figured out, but I don't think that we know all that we need to know about what happened that day. When they went running to the tomb, the man said, why should you be living among the dead? Didymus looked at the touch and said, don't touch it, have it. He went back. When Jesus went back, where did he go? He's already built it for the earth and led captives. No, we're not going into Abraham's bosom and all that stuff. But where is Jesus? Jesus is in the presence of God. He is in that world that he left without scars, without wounds. He's back in that same world, but he's there different this time. To this extent. Father, I went to do your will. Father, I did your will. I went to fulfill your glory and your purpose. There had to be a sacrifice for that sinful man. I paid the price. Now, no matter where it is, your glory will be lost. The scripture tells us that the glory of God is going to fill this earth as the waters cover the sea. Not any glory for anyone else. Jesus said, well, I call you me, dear. I'm not good only my Father. Something's happening in this work of the cross. But the fact is, Jesus has secured it all in his own person. Young people, if you don't do what I tell you to do, I think I'm going to come to your father. You must read the Word of God. You must. I don't care how tired, how busy, how anything else. If anything is going to be put on the back burner, don't let it be the case of God. The devil is a liar. The devil will lie to you. He is a deceiver. He will deceive you. He goes about for one reason: to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And Paul, you're nothing without your life being hidden in God. Everything is in God. There is no question. I wish I could remember even who I was talking to. Maybe somebody was here. But they were telling me what was going on in our schools. My God, I think my mind went numb. I've heard a lot of stories. Years ago, a teacher friend of mine, his wife was a school teacher. She was sitting at her desk in school. And a first or second grader, whatever it was, went up and threw her dress up above her head and said, I'm going to. Evil men are waxing worse and worse. I remember my pastor preaching that there would come a time when this entire world would be devil possessed. He brought out in that message, there will come a time when domesticated animals will go mad. He said, it's going to get so bad that if you want to see it through, you'll have to go to his room with an invitation. A totally demon-possessed world. I was sitting on the front row when you preached. I was sitting on the front row when anybody preached. That back seat, from that front row back, it's not made for me. I'm not going to show up anyway, except right there. I don't know what he's going to tell me. No, at the time I listened to a preacher say, God help me, just tell me what I'm hearing. Now, this track in one ear and out the other. I think the possession. I'm scared of him. Did you remember that message that he preached on that? I think I remember. He said, I remember when I was a boy, I went to the theater, and it was a post-dark movie. And he said, we checked on his kids. And he said, that post-dark movie was that a man got into a rocket ship and went to the moon. He said, one day, a Frankenstein movie, they opened the man up and put another heart in him. He made this statement. That what happens is mirroring what is going to be in the future. You think America, China, and people are bad aggressive or bad men? It's only a mirror of what the future is going to be like. Your world is not going to get easier. It's not going to become more peaceful. Because this is not the peace that Jesus wanted. He won the peace for that new kingdom, that new heaven, that new earth. When you hear of things going on, the Lord said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be free. I said that Jesus, when he ascended back to the Father, he was in the presence of God. He was there in total and absolute victory. My concern for the people in Britain, did a man who had been born boys, Muhammad, 3 times more than any other man. And then I heard that man say the word in a post-Christian America. I can remember when we used to name our boys John, Paul, David, Caleb, you name them. But now, 3 times more than any other name, they name them Muhammad. You say, that's a fact. That'll wear out. That is not a fact. That will not wear out. The wicked are becoming more wicked. Your only victory is in Christ. Your only victory was through the cross. I feel sorry for all these small people that you try. I would do a lot for them. You try to reason with them. You say, where's that the Bible? Jesus said, come. Let us reason together. Come, let us reason together. That's what I'm doing when I preach. I'm trying to reason. What I'm telling you is immense. Because it all has to do with the will of God. And to recognize and know that that's not enough. When we talk about wanting to do the will of God, let's look at this for a moment. The will of God means nothing else than that God shall be universally glorified and that He is the central object of our life. Do you want to do the will of God? Do you want to do the will of God? You say, I don't know what to do, but I will. Take it. Break it. Mold me, make it. And just let me do it. This is a true story. It goes all the way back to the beginning. Do you remember when there was a man by the name of Cain that slew his brother? Kind of God accepted the sacrifice of Abel, but not of Cain. That's the only reason. Not nobody prophesied before they were born, but that's the one reason. Because Cain brought a sacrifice that was not God. When Cain got angry, because God's promise was to every man. When Cain got angry, God let him know. This was a lie. I accepted his, rejected yours. But if you will, that if you will bring a sacrifice, I will honor that sacrifice from you the same way that I accepted it from him. What was at stake with Cain and Abel? The kingdom of God. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. This Bible doesn't have 2 or 3 different themes or subjects. It's all the same. Right? Did you ever think in that pain about the sacrifice from Abel being accepted as being a part of the kingdom of God? To be in the kingdom of God, there's only one way. You can't get there 2 or 3 different ways. If he would have accepted that sacrifice of the earth or the ground from Cain, then maybe you could get in some other way too. I don't know. Thy kingdom come. What did Jesus present to the Father when he came to the Father? The blood. The blood. It makes no difference where you find it. I said, God, I want to get closer to you. I'm going to tell you how. Myself or anyone else can get close to We've got to deny ourselves. We've got to crucify the flesh. In other words, we've got to go back to the cross. Of course, what is happening here is that one picture of Christ's prayer. The cross, with all of its blood, all of its suffering, the cross was the will of God. The cross was the will. Jesus said, I come to the new world. The devil tried to kill him any number of ways. Took him to the pinnacle of the temple. Said, Father, he'll get his angels to charge over you, keep you as you got to kill against the cross. Jesus knew he couldn't jump out of that temple because the devil tried to get him to commit suicide. The devil would do anything to keep him out of that cross. The devil would do anything to keep him from doing the will of God. But just as Jesus faced the full onslaught of the devil, when he went to Pilate, when you go to Pilate, you're going to face the full onslaught of the devil and hell. And it may not mean anything to you, but if you want to draw closer to God, if you want to be more like Him, if you want to give Him glory, you're going to meet Him every step of the way. You're going to be faced with a full assault coming from the devil. Because the only thing the devil wants to do with the cross is to set it aside. He doesn't want you coming by the way of the cross. This man says, why don't you come and give your heart to Jesus? No, he won't tell you. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. That's more painful than just saying, well, I accepted Jesus then. I know people that say that, and as lost as they can be. But even, with glory scripture, but even as we have been made partakers of His death, we also should be made partakers of His resurrection. Right now, we that have been to the cross, we're not trying to serve Jesus like a son to Moses. As a fire escape, simply because we love Him, we've joined ourselves to Him by the help and the grace of God. We're willing to suffer as Jesus. He said, I'm not putting more on you than you can bear. God knows how much you and I can take. But I want to touch on this with Christ. Because, come and help me, Jesus. I just want to give you one other quick reference. Do you remember the book of Esther? The book of Esther is 10 chapters long. For just a few minutes, what I'm going to tell you, I want to swing on the front row, listen to Dr. Wall in 1963, in the midst of the fire, when I would preach on the book of Esther. He said, Esther is 10 chapters long, and the name of God is never one time mentioned in the book of Esther. I read the book of Esther very clearly, and I'm taking it. The name of God is not known. We figure it out. We remember God by the name of Mordecai. We remember God by the name of Haman. Haman was to kill all the people of God. In other words, he's trying to destroy the kingdom of God. That's what he's trying to do. That's it. Found grace in the eye and the sight of the king. She went before the king without being bitten, which was a death penalty that he did not receive. She went to Mordecai and he looked up at him. He was so abandoned, he was also abdicated. She said, Haman is wanting to kill all of our people. Mordecai told her, you've got to go to the king. She said, but I may die. He said, you've got to go to the king. She said, get my parents. She went to the king and they offered her the scepter, which he accepted her. And from Haman, is building a house. Be careful. The king comes hanging on the wrong house. Right? You might have got to come over to the street on the king's house. And all of it comes. When you set yourself against the kingdom of God, you're going to be defeated. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Which is perfect.